사랑하는 성도 여러분. 54. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attended worship online, this is the 54th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained how dinosaurs became excited by the Satan. Dinosaurs envied the cherubim so much. Since the cherubim escorted Adam, they were always with them. The dinosaurs' envy grew greater and greater and was reaching a level that could have deteriorated into evil. Satan kept an eye on the Garden of Eden and immediately sensed this change in the dinosaurs' character. Satan kept on sending the wave of untruthful thought to the dinosaurs. Eventually, the dinosaur began to accept the thought that Satan sent. Afterwards, the dinosaurs fall for Satan's delusions that if they eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, they will become like a cherubim. As a result, the dinosaur asked Adam to permit them to eat the fruit. Adam explained to them why they should not eat from it, but he couldn't convince them at all. Among young children, there are some who do something even more when their parents tell them not to do it. I mean, kids who want to do more than they are told not to. For example, a mother gives a caution to her son saying, "Don't play with the matches. You may burn down this whole house." Then she goes out. If her son is full of curiosity, he might mischievously play with them to make a fire. But sometimes it becomes a real fire. Even though the dinosaurs were warned by Adam, they were unable to control their minds like these children. The central area of the Garden of Eden, where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is located, is a restricted area. Adam and Eve had access to it, but there are cherubim guarding it too, so that nothing can enter the area. Therefore, it was not easy for dinosaurs even to come close to the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. One day, Adam made a grand-scale visit to Earth. Usually, Adam didn't take very many cherubim along with him. Some of them would accompany Adam, while others remained to guard the Garden of Eden. But this was somewhat of a special day. Adam took all his cherubim to see where he would build a structure to symbolize his authority on Earth. He even took the cherubim that guarded the center of the Garden of Eden. The dinosaurs didn't lose this chance to eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. A litter of the dinosaurs and some of the dinosaurs joined together to walk towards the center of the garden. They entered the restricted area and hurried to the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. Before they got to the tree, however, they were stopped by God, and their provocation failed. They've committed an irreparable error simply by trespassing on the off-limits territory, even though they didn't get the fruits, and it arouses the wrath of God. Not only the dinosaurs that entered into the restricted era, but the entire population of dinosaurs became cursed. The reason God pours His wrath onto all dinosaurs was because they were all a party to the violations. All the other dinosaurs wanted two dinosaurs in leading position to eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil and become like a cherubim. They wished their leaders would succeed in the eating from that banned fruits. It was why God punished not only the dinosaur that broke into the restricted area, but also all other ones. Romans chapter 6:16 says, "Do not know that when you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, you are a slave of the one whom you obey. If you committed a sin, you become a slave to sin, which means you become a slave to the enemy devil." Since dinosaurs obeyed Satan and became the slaves to Satan, they couldn't live in the Garden of Eden anymore, any longer. Now, is there anyone among you who might think something like that the following? They didn't eat from the banned fruits. They just trespassed into the restricted area. Wasn't it too harsh to drive all of them out of from the Garden of Eden? Wouldn't it have been okay if they had been warned severely never to do it again and been forgiven? However, it wouldn't do much good to forgive them because it was a matter in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden should be kept as a pure, evil-free place, since no evil could be tolerated. An object that comes into the contact with the evil cannot stay in the Garden of Eden. God created the Garden of Eden as a clean and a pure spiritual place. He didn't create it for human cultivation like the earth. The Garden of Eden is not a place where someone understands the evil and the changes. It is just a place where all lives are protected by the grace of God. If the slightest evil is tolerated, then evil can become rampant swiftly because it's cultivated a spiritual place. A smoldering ember can cause everything to go up in flames. Furthermore, the incident of the dinosaurs' disobedience to the command of God was not accidental. Dinosaurs had accepted the thought that Satan gave for over a long period of time. It made it more impossible for God to be able to allow the dinosaurs to stay in Garden of Eden. Moreover, dinosaurs were not created to be cultivated just like humans are. They were not the beings that could realize their fault and turn back even if they were forgiven. Unlike the earth, the Garden of Eden is not a place to experience the relativity. In order to keep any evil from taking root in the Garden of Eden, God completely removed any chance of the evil from the existing there. And thus, when Adam and Eve later disobeyed, he drew them out to the earth as well. By the way, here is another point you should give a thought to. The Garden of Eden was a place surrounded by the light. So how could the spirit of the darkness, Satan, work there? And how could the dinosaurs accept it? Even if one lives in the environment of a light, it's eventually the individual's decision to choose between the light and darkness. The environment is important, but what is even more important is whether the individual likes the light better or the darkness. Even though a person stays within places surrounded by light, if he has a tribute of the darkness in his mind, he can have a contact with the evil spirits. He can be moved by Satan. For example, God protects this very place and the temple of God with a fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and by heavenly hosts and angels. Now, once you are inside this place, are you free from any work of Satan? Some people get lost in their own thoughts during the worship, and some judge and condemn others while listening to the world. Furthermore, there are those who receive the devil's directions and do the works of the flesh, such as the fighting in the temple of God. Even if the works of the Holy Spirit are so strong in the church and God protects it with the light, there are some people who receive the work of Satan or the evil. It is possible not because God doesn't protect them, but because they allow for the contact with the spirits of the darkness. Even if you are not yet sanctified and the bad thoughts come to mind, if you immediately reject them, you will break the connection with Satan. However, people don't reject it, but instead of accept it, those can develop into the things of a flesh or into the deed of a flesh. Dinosaurs lived in the Garden of Eden, which is surrounded by the light, but they still acquire the tribute of the darkness in their hearts. Dear and brothers and sisters, after God moved the dinosaurs to the earth, Adam couldn't make a visit to the earth for a while. God didn't allow Adam to meet with dinosaurs. Then how did Adam take this dinosaur's incident? I told you that dinosaurs were like pets to Adam. Such a dinosaur committed a grave error. The wrath of God was poured on them, and they were driven out to the earth. How did Adam feel about it? Did he feel sad and hurt in his heart? It should have been that way, but Adam didn't. Or did he become angry at them because they didn't listen to him? Adam was not angry. He was neither sad nor hurt in his heart. It is safe to say that the people of the Garden of Eden have almost no feelings such as sadness, sorrow, and anger. They may have a feeling like a joy and excitement, but they don't know how happy it is to feel them. It's because they don't have opposite feeling of a joy. Adam could not be sad about the dinosaur incidents because he had never experienced the sadness, which is the opposite of a joy. Even though he knew about joy and the pleasure, he never felt their relativity. So he did not know whether the pleasure is pleasure. That is why he didn't feel no opposing emotion. If you feel that you love someone, you think it's a love because you have also felt hate. So you know that. What forgiveness is, if you do not know hate, you cannot really feel whether it is love or not. In other words, the beings in the Garden of Eden have no concept of relativity. That's why Adam couldn't realize how serious the incident of the dinosaurs were. He couldn't feel it much in his heart. Until then, Adam had never thought about disobeying the command of God. He could not even imagine doing anything like that in the future. Therefore, the incident concerning the dinosaurs didn't make much of an impact on his feelings. Adam considered that it had little to do with him. However, through this incident, he did come to know what would happen if the command of God were violated. Let me give you an example to help you understand it better. Suppose there's a student who has never been sick from the time he was born. A very close friend of his become very sick. Since his close friend is sick, he may have a sense of sympathy in his heart, but he cannot fully understand his friend's pain. He may think he's sick, he's suffering, but he cannot truly feel the pain. Perhaps he had heard about the pain of a disease, but he had never before felt it itself. In the same way, even though Adam had witnessed the dinosaur's disobedience, his heart was not honestly touched by the consequences of it. He didn't receive the moral of this lesson from the incident. As a result, later, Adam also went the way of disobedience. There was another reason why Adam didn't consider the incident of the dinosaurs seriously. Adam thought even though dinosaurs were driven out of the earth too is under my authority. Once the wrath of God comes down later, I can visit the earth to see them again. In the future, I may be able to bring them back to the Garden of Eden. He was this much at ease with the situation. Since Adam's mind was like this, he was not greatly worried or saddened by the dinosaur incident. After the dinosaur incident, time passed and Adam's little longing for them disappeared. It was true that dinosaurs once gave Adam great joy and pleasure, but Adam's life did not change much without dinosaurs. Adam still enjoyed everything and he lived a life that was not really different from before. Some of you might think it weird that Adam forgot about dinosaurs. Now, put yourself into Adam's shoes. I said a dinosaurs were like a pet to Adam. They were not a necessity in Adam's life. They were not the beings that had to stay with Adam. Besides, Adam lived his life without needing anything from the very beginning. Therefore, he didn't consider the true value of all that was given to him, but instead took it all for granted. He didn't treasure what he had and even treated it all with his indifferences. Here is a good example. Suppose there's a boy who was born into a very wealthy family. He had everything he wanted to and lacked nothing. He could have any toys he wanted and many he wanted. In fact, he could have the most expensive and the most desirable of a toy. How would this boy feel if one of his toys is missing? How do you think he'd react? He might look for it and might ask himself where he put it. However, if he couldn't find it, he'd soon just forget about it because he has so many other toys that he can play with. It was the same situation with Adam after the dinosaurs disappeared from the Garden of Eden. God had already foreknown what would happen to dinosaurs then. What was the reason God still gave the dinosaurs to Adam? God also knew when dinosaurs were changing. If God had wanted to stop them in advance, he could have done it. But what was the reason God didn't stop them? God wanted Adam to learn a great lesson from the incident of dinosaurs. First of all, God wanted Adam to know what the price of the disobedience would be. He hoped Adam keep in mind that even the smallest bit of the darkness, once allowed, can ultimately lead to enormous, irreversible consequences. In addition, God wanted Adam to indirectly experience how craftily Satan can deceive. So he hoped that Adam would remember the incident of a dinosaur and overcome any temptations later. By the way, God the Father also foreknew that Adam would eventually disobey. However, it is true that God did his best to prevent Adam from going down to the path of the death by giving him the experience in advance. It would leave no room for Adam to offer excuses. Adam could not say, "Father, you put the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil in order to cultivate me, knowing that I would eventually disobey, didn't you?" God the Father did his best to teach Adam the truth, and that is also why he gave Adam a chance to understand it. God the Father planned it for human cultivation and prepared for it by following all these procedures and the process. He didn't put the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil there with a desire for Adam to commit a sin. Instead, God taught Adam how not to fall into the Satan's temptation. Let's say a 5-year-old kid gets a big shock. His mother, whom he loved so much, died miserably. If his mother was murdered by someone and the child saw it, he would never forget the sin for the rest of his life. The shock and the sadness from the sins were so great and intense that the child would never forget it for the rest of his life. If his neighbor had killed his mother, he would have been his enemy for the rest of his life. The child also has a short pleasant memories. For example, if he wanted to eat the fruit but it was too expensive and his grandmother bought a lot of it, he would be happy and joyful. The boy would really greatly happy. But these memories don't last long. They are forgotten after about a year. When the child grows up and has money to buy fruit, that happy feeling disappears. Dear brothers and sisters, Adam's disobedience was not a result of his failure to keep God's words in mind, but rather of his failure to understand in his heart why it had to be so. Let me tell you what happened to the dinosaurs after they were moved to the earth. As God moved the dinosaurs to the earth, he didn't place them in one place, but rather he scattered them. He wrapped them up into the something like the net and then moved them to the earth. God placed these nets in many different places on earth. In some places, he put a couple of nets, but in other places, he put from just a few to many nets of them in the area. God put several dinosaurs in a net and let them fall all over the earth. That's why dinosaurs' traces are found even across most continents, America, Asia, Africa. The number of the nets lowered varies. Some places have one or two nets, while others have five or six. That's why dinosaur fossils are spread all over the world. They are distributed all over the world. The places marked in the red are where dinosaur fossils were discovered. They are in Korea, Japan, China, Australia, and everywhere in the world, Africa, Russia, and the U.S., Central and the South America. Everywhere on the earth. The areas shown on the data screen are where dinosaur fossils are found. You can see that they are widely distributed on Earth, but are also gathered in some places. Now, are any other animals so widely distributed to live in just about every place on the Earth, just as dinosaurs? No, they are not. For example, most of the lions live in Africa and a few in India. Habitat of the tigers are found from the polar climates area to tropical, but none on the North America continents. Animals live in the area where the climate is proper, but it's not true that they live in every proper climate area. The fossils of the tigers can be found in the area of the Arctic Ocean and in China. Elephants live only in tropical rainforest and the savannah. As you can see, the habitats of other animals are not scattered throughout the earth, but they are quite localized. Among animals, there are some that are found in the Central and the South America, but not in Asia, or some that are found in Africa, but not in the Central and the South America. The habitats of certain animals are limited. It seems like there are snakes all over the world, but there are also places where there are none at all. There were no snakes in Guam at first because it was an island across the Pacific Ocean. What would happen if a land snake went to Guam? It would die of exhaustion on the way. But during the World War I or World War II, soldiers intentionally released a lot of snakes into Guam. That's why there are snakes in Guam. People brought them there. Other animals too must have migrated to other continents or been moved by the humans or other things to find habitats on other continents. Moreover, animals such as elephants, lions, and tigers are not distributed everywhere. But the truth is that dinosaurs, much larger than lions, tigers, and elephants, have fossils found all over the world. Why don't scientists and the geologists take this into account? Isn't it strange? Except for livestock, no other animals on Earth are distributed all over the world, except for those that fly like birds. But how is it that only those giant dinosaurs have been discovered, distributed all over the world? Why can't evolutionists and the researchers think of it this? This proves that God said when He moved the dinosaurs from the Garden of Eden to Earth, He scattered them all over the world. I will continue to tell you next time how the dinosaurs that were driven out to the earth changed and behaved. In the next lesson, you will learn more about the dinosaur fossils, their eggs, and their worldwide habitats. Amen. Let me conclude it. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, this time I told you about the process in which dinosaurs were discovered trying to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil and were banished to earth. I also told you why God gave dinosaurs to Adam even though He foreknew what dinosaurs would do and become. God wishes that Adam would truly understand the reason of the disobedience and receive the great lesson from it. But he took this lesson lightly, and Eve ended up being deceived by the cunning serpent. Adam also ate the banned fruits, and those committed the crime of the disobedience, and thus the curse came upon the first human beings. For us, it's a blessing, for God has blessed us with the opportunity to be cultivated on this land. I hope for you to do the same. A wise man is good at applying others' testimonies or experience to himself. He doesn't overlook them and consider them as a memory like Adam did. Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians lists the evil acts which caused the destruction of the Israelites in the wilderness after they escaped from Egypt. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 6 says, "Now these things happen as an example for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave." Again, the verse chapter 10, 11, "Now these things happen to them as an example, and that they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come." There are so many warnings not to commit the sin and obedience. I hope you will take a lesson from the incident of the dinosaurs and that you will check yourself. As you find even slightest evil, you should never ignore it. You should understand well that it can grow to become a serious evil even though it looks like nothing for now. Once you understand it, you should fervently pray until you completely cast it off. To the one who doesn't cast off evil even though he knows it evil, James chapter 1, 23-24 says, "For if anyone is the hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. If you read and memorize the Word of God, but do not practice it, it's like looking at yourself in the mirror. You can see what your face, nose, and the mouth look like through the mirror. Such like your makeup is well, or something spot is on your face. But without that mirror, you live your life forgetting the state of your face. When you hear the read the Word of God, you can examine your heart, but only for a short time. If you do not practice the Word of God, you are like a person who only looks in a mirror from time to time. And it continues to say, James chapter 1, 25, but one who looks intensely at the perfect law, the law of the liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. He who looks into the perfect law of the freedom, if we truly want to be free, we must live according to the Word of God. People who live by the Word of God have a joy overflowing. They are filled with happiness and joy, and their faith life is not difficult, but rather it's very easy and happy. May you not become like this, a fool who understands only mentally without putting the knowledge into practice.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.